DOS.
Roger.
Here today.
Oh, we're coming through Malden. How are you?
A radio here. Didn't know if it was gonna be able to talk or not, but it seems like it is. I got to figure out how to turn that beep off, though.
Sounds pretty good here.
I hate that, really do. I hope you and Rachel are doing well today.
Dennis DePaulman, and I'm headed home from MOS&B meeting, so it's been a good day.
Glad you got to go to your meeting and all of that, and I know you'll be glad to get back to the house.
Well, you know, we love to travel, but the more you travel, the more you appreciate home.
No doubt about it. Y'all hadn't been on another cruise, have you?
The June and July was the last one. Oh, you'd love this. We didn't even leave the U.S. We flew to Portland, Oregon, ordered the American Song, and did a cruise on the Columbia and Snake Rivers. And at the end of that, took a 7-day land tour of national parks out there, Glacier National, Yellowstone, and Grand Teton. It was fantastic. Once-in-a-lifetime type trip.
Imagine. And in the truck, then there's a long stretch up through there, starting over about the Dales, and from there just about all the way to Portland. You ran right beside the Hood River, and I always thought I'd love to get out there, especially when the salmon were running.
Oh, I'll bet you would enjoy that. Yeah, it was remarkable. I mean, that Columbia River Valley is just, Columbia River Gorge. It's an absolutely beautiful part of the country. And then we got to do the national park, and they put us up in, this is also part of the American Cruise Lines, and they put us up in national park lodges. No air conditioning, no TV, no internet, no telephone. Man, it was wonderful.
I'll tell you what, you were in a state of bliss. You know, with no telephones and no internet, none of the things that aggravate you. I tell you what, Jim, I don't know how in the world we got by so many years without cell phones. Me and Joey went out to eat for supper one night, not here long ago, and there was a family of five sitting over there at another table. And they weren't saying a word to each other, but all of them had their cell phones out. And I said, I told Joy, I said, you know, that to me would be a dysfunctional family.
Yeah, that's true. Well, Rachel and I have been guilty of driving for a while and then checking out mail when we first sat down. Yeah, I heard a guy say the other day that his cell phone went bad and they lost their internet, and so he had to sit down and talk with his family, and he said that, you know, they seem like nice people.
Well, that kind of puts it all in perspective then, doesn't it?
Because I got a chuckle out of that.
Wait on the road before you get to the house.
I'm about 5 minutes out. I'm just getting on to Sanding Springs Road, coming into Simpsonville.
You're making good time, and hopefully you will be make a safe trip onto the house. I've been working on a Dentron Clipperton. What is that thing? That's a Clipperton L amplifier, and found out what was wrong with it today. And I've already recapped it and all of that stuff. I was getting ready to fire it back up, and I said, well, I'm going to go through it and check it one more time. And one of the tubes is missing the ground. Yeah, it's got four of those 572Bs in it, and one of them didn't have a ground at all. I said, well, that might be part of the problem.
It very well might be. Yeah, I've got a little radio on. It needs recapping in the power supply, but it's one of those. It's got a canister with four capacitors in it, in that one canister, and no labeling of the wires.
That's just fun, doesn't it?
Yeah, it seems to work, except it's got that 60 hertz home.
Guy asked me if I'd work on a. He bought him a Drake TR4. He said somebody's been in it and messed with it, and he said he asked me if I'd go through it, and I said no. I said somebody else done had their hands in it. I don't know what they level have done.
No, you never know. Sometimes it's just for fun too.
If you got a problem, I don't mind looking at it, and if somebody else has been in there, if don't mind that too bad. If it's still halfway working right, but what he was telling me all this thing was doing, and my father-in-law, WB4YUO, when he was alive, he's silent key now, bless his heart, but he had one of those, and he was forever taking the top off of it and trying to peek it up a little bit. And he'd call me and says, I need you to come over here and line my radio back up. I told him the last time, I said, Daddy, I said, you do that again, I'm going to break your fingers. I ain't going to break your diddle stick. I'm going to break your fingers.
Yeah, you can reach that point. Yeah, that could be. But I'm still looking for a top cover for that tuner I've got. I shouldn't have cut the cover like I did. I should have just made a temporary one or something. But I can't blame anybody but me. Saw that Shelby said he had one that was no good. He said it in my info, and he said when he got home that that hasn't happened, and I'm not looking for it to happen.
I ran across a guy that has just bought him some metal bending equipment, and he's getting into metal building bending. He's done it before, but he had never had his own equipment, and now he's got his own equipment. Shoot me the dimensions of that thing, and I'll see if he can bend you one up out of some aluminum. And you don't mind painting it, do you?
Oh, I don't mind painting and drilling them all. Not at all. That would be wonderful if that could happen. I'll get the info.
For information and your contact information, let him call you and talk to you about it, and we'll go from there. But I'll ask him if he can do that sort of thing. I think he can. He does everything else with all kinds. Well, he showed me some stuff that he built. It would look really great. I hadn't seen it in person. They just sent me a picture of it. But I'll go over to his shop and talk to him a little bit and give him your contact information. What is that? That would be east of Greer.
I'd be glad to take the old cover, and so we could, match the bend if that would help.
Get in touch with him. I'll try to get in touch with him tonight. Don't know if I'll get him or not. Maybe tomorrow. Might even be the weekend before I can get him. He stays busy all the time doing something. But I'll talk to him and see what he thinks about it. And if he thinks he can help you out, I'll have him call you and y'all can get together.
That'd be great, Jerry. Appreciate it. All right, I'm about to turn into the street that I just dropped off of. Turn into Parker and got to stop and get the mail. Good to hear you on, and good luck with that rig you're working on. I appreciate it. 73 from K4JS.
Appreciate you. Yeah, thanks for coming back to me. It seems to be working fine now. So maybe we won one for a change. You take care. Tell Rachel we said hello, and we'll talk to you a little bit later. 73, my friend. K4JF, KI4DOS.
Yeah, and I best enjoy too. K4JF.
TOS, W4SBX.
K4DOS.
Hope you're doing well this evening. after the squawk net, well, actually, when I got home today, Mr. Chris, I think his call sign is KF4QLG, I think. But anyway, he's interested in that striker, so I don't know if he's going to get it yet or not, but I appreciate you doing what you do.
Yeah, he called me this morning to get your contact information, and we talked for about 2 hours or 2.5 hours, something like that, about this, that, and the other, but he said he was interested in it, and I told him I said, well, just give him a call, and he said he was, had looked at one before, and got in there to get one, and then he wouldn't, hadn't been able to find another one, so I told him, I said, well, call Brad. I said, he still got it. I know he still got it because he took it off the swap net last night, and he said, okay, so I'm glad he got in touch with you.
If he gets it, it'll work out good for me, too, because if he gets me, if he buys it, then I'm going to order that G90. But, yeah, I don't know. I think I told him in a text message. That thing's brand new, 100 watts. I don't think I told him that. But anyway, I've only used it once or twice at the most. And then I took it out of the car, put it in the ham shack inside, and I just had changed my mind, and I mounted my other 2 meter, 70 centimeter radio in the car where it was at. So I was like, well, my little car is, these ain't hardly anywhere to mount anything. So I was like, well, if I have to keep it, I'm going to keep it in the house. I mounted it to my shelf there in the ham shack, but I still haven't used this in there because I sold my Antron 99, my antenna for, remember?
And the guy that bought that antenna has got it up, I think, and he said it worked real well.
Yeah, Mr. Chuck, I can't remember his last name, it was call sign because when I met him, he had just took the test that day. He's a real nice guy. I think he's a game warden or something like that, he said. But he was at field day, too, and he's a real nice guy.
I was there when he took his test and talked to him a little bit. I hope he keeps up with the hobby and does, you know, keeps on going a little bit, and, you know, advances a little bit so he can get on the HF and, you know, get down there and play with the lower bands. I think he'll really enjoy that as well.
Yeah, roger that. You know what? Anybody I run into now, even as a new ham that I am, I will tell everybody, I said, well, you start with technician, but I don't think you're going to be happy. Go ahead and at least get general so you can experience HF in the real world, because I've had so much fun with it, and getting real close to testing for extra just to pick up some more bandwidth, but I absolutely love this hobby, and I wish I'd have did it a long, long time ago.
Yeah, I got out of service in 1974, and my father-in-law was a ham then, and he tried to get me to go to, he said, I'll drive with you down there to Atlanta, let you take the test. He said, you can pass it. I told him no, I was tired of fooling with radios and that sort of stuff, and I wanted to do something else. And 30 years later, I got my license, and you know, I got my tech, and then I got my general, and I got my extra, and I went over and talked to him, and went over and told him, you know, when I passed the extra test, and he was sitting in his recliner. I won't ever forget this. He reared back and crossed his arms and looked up at me, and he said, well, you're finally one of us.
It ain't the same story, but my brother-in-law has been a ham since 1976, and I always remember this because him and my sister got married, I think it was 1984, and I went to the Shelby Ham Fest with them when they were newly married, or I think they might have been even just still dating, but I think they were married then. Might have been 1982, but anyway, that's the first ham fest I went to, and I wasn't a ham, but I was a little interested. I mean, I was interested, but I didn't know how to go about it, really. He got me a technician book, or no, back then it was novice. I think it was novice, and you still had to do the code. I want to drop a second. And I was working two jobs, and everything, and I was like, well, you know, I can't pick this code up. I'll try it later when I got more time. Then I joined the Marine Corps. So, make a long story short, I just never got around to it until now. But if I'd known what I know now, I would have took it about at least 20 years ago. But that's been a long time for me, you know, wanting to and not doing it.
Before SBX. Well, that's the way it is, Brad. You know, I've really enjoyed the hobby since I got into it and continue to enjoy it. And as long as the Lord lets me take a breath, I guess I'll continue. But I sure have learned a whole lot since I got my license and started branching out into other things. There's several folks that have talked to me about doing some digital work. But I don't really care to do the digital work. It's okay and it's fine if that's what you like. I'm happy for you, but I just like turning the knob and pushing buttons and that sort of thing. So all these menu-driven things and all your software-defined radios are great, but I like one that looks older and you got knobs and things to turn on it, then if people like it, that's great. If they don't, that's great too. But I don't get into the digital stuff. I enjoy doing a little code every once in a while. Get my paddles down and playing with that. But I hadn't done that in probably over a year now, or about a year. So I'm getting a little rusty with it, so I'm going to have to drag my key back out, or my paddles back out, and get back in there and play with that a little bit. But we'll figure it out one way or another.
I don't know your code yet, but I'm determined that after I get my extra, but I've already got two different keys. They're straight keys. And I've got a Morse code trainer that I bought off eBay. Looks like it's going to be helpful. And then I've joined the SKCC. So I don't know how long it took you to learn. I'm going to ask you the question, how long did it take you to learn Morse code? But I've just decided I might as well just focus on one thing, get it done, and then move on to something else. Back to you, Gary, W4SBH.
Morse code when I was in the Navy. I flew and worked on the P-3 Orion Subhunter. I did not fly it. I flew in it and worked on the communication, navigation, ASW equipment, and which I really enjoyed. Had a good time doing that, but they made me take Morse code while I was in there, because if I was going to work on the radios, I might need to know a little Morse code. So they said radio operators have to have it, so you're going to have it too. So that's where I learned it. And when I got out of that class, I said, well, that's something I ain't never going to do again. And I did my best to forget it. And my brother-in-law, Joy's brother, our youngest brother, as a matter of fact, we were sitting there at the table one Christmas, and he started tapping on the table, and I started tapping back, and he and I were carrying on a conversation that the rest of the family didn't know nothing about.
Oh, that's hilarious, man. You got me smiling ear to ear. I met a Marine when I was in New Hampshire last year, and He I don't think he did radio stuff in the military. I think he learned it afterwards. But he's been he's got an interesting story on QRZ. But if you look at his QRZ page, that's basically all he ever does, CW. He loves it. And he gave me one key, and then I bought another one. And he gave me a lot of books, but he's got me motivated to learn it. But I talked to another guy up when I was up there in the club, CSARA, Trinity State Amateur Radio Society, or whatever it's called. And he told me he learned it in about 2 months. And I'm like, oh, I can't see how you learned it that quick.
Pick it up real quick, and others it takes a while. Now, my wife plays the piano, and a lot of people have told me you're inclined, so it's sure to pick it up easy. But the tone of the CW signals bothers her, and so she has a hard time with it. And when I get in here and playing with CW, I have to close the door so she doesn't hear it. But it's, you know, it depends on how bad you want it and that sort of thing. But when I learned it in the military, you sat in class for 8 hours a day listening to da 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 that sort of thing. And but I tell you what, I was ready to get out of that room at the end of the day. But well, I finally learned enough to pass the test and get out of the class, you know, with a passing grade. So that's all that mattered to me. And once I took the class, I never used it again. Didn't use it working on the radios or anything. But I could sit there and inside the aircraft and talk to Hickam Air Force, or Hickam Air Force Base over there in Hawaii. Like you and I are talking now, but we were on the HF radios I was in the plane and talking over here to the tower or somebody. But it's a whole lot of fun, and I still enjoy it.
I appreciate all the information you're giving me. You're a mentor to me, I guess. I got a million questions, but I want to ask you one real quick. Well, from what I hear or what I notice, if they send it slow, I can understand certain letters. Of course, I don't know all the characters and alphabet yet. I know basically just the easy ones. But if somebody sends it fast, I'd be lost. So I don't think I'll ever be no speedster at it. But I would like at least to be able to, you know, make a contact, especially a DX contact with someone. But what is the... I mean, I don't know the right way to explain it. So speed that you would use in most often, I guess.
It depends. You know, there's some guys out there that do slow code all the time. You know, they'll run it on down just about as slow as you need them to. And then there's others that will fuss. Well, if you can't send no faster than that, or if you can't copy no faster than that, I don't want to talk to you. But you can always, I say always, most always, find someone that'll be willing to slow it down to where you can understand it. I run about 20, 21, 22, something like that. I try not to get much over that because these guys that run 30, 35, and 40 or more, that's noise to me. I can't keep up. But after a fashion, after you've been studying it for a little bit and you learn the characters, the next thing, you'll start recognizing words. And, you know, when you start hearing words, you know, instead of just the characters, I did to myself. I said, wow, you know, hey, that's cool. But there again, when I got my AM ticket, I didn't want anything to do with CW until it was a part. I had to have it to get my general, of course. And when I got back into it and I wanted to do it, it made a whole lot of difference. So I think if you want to do it, you want to learn it, it'll come pretty easy, pretty quick to you. And, you know, I think you'll enjoy it once you get into it, because you can make a CW contact when you can't make nothing else.
That's one thing that has gotten me so interested in it is, and if, correct me if I'm wrong, Gary, because I'm definitely not an expert, but just say... I'll find somebody on DX cluster that's in Japan or somewhere long distance. Wouldn't Morse code be kind of like a universal language, like he don't have to speak English and I don't have to speak Japanese, or am I wrong about that?
You have to speak the same language because all you're doing is spelling your words out and that sort of thing. You can muddle through and you can make contacts. You ask for a signal report, and you know they kind of know what those letters are and characters and that sort of thing. And but if you want to carry on a conversation, it's pretty much the same way. You need to be able to converse in that language, whether it's English or Japanese or whatnot.
To me now, because if I say speak in English, in Spanish it would be habla, so it would be a whole different letter for the same word, maybe, I guess is what it is, but yeah, I don't know why I was thinking that. I'm too Americanized, I guess. I don't know.
No, it's like I said, once you get into it, it's a lot of fun, and it's just like when you're doing phone, you know, you're making a DX contact, you're speaking English, and the guy, if he's in Japan and he's Japanese, he'll know enough English to make a contact with you, and I know a lot of folks that do learn a little bit of other languages, and so they can talk to the folks in other countries in their native language. And but you know what the book says, that all you got to do is throw your call sign out there in English. It doesn't matter if you're speaking Spanish or French or whatnot.
Glad I got to talk to you tonight. That makes a lot of sense, now that you mentioned, because just like you were talking to somebody, just the normal exchange of call signs and signal report and all that, some of that stuff is probably just, it will come natural maybe, but, and really most of my DX voice contacts, you're not on there very long. You're not like carrying out a full-fledged conversation or nothing. You're just basically call signs. You don't even have to ask the time because you can figure that out, UTC. And, you know, signal report, and I think they call it DE, where you sign off or something, but, yeah, that's really cool, man. I want to get into it one of these days.
Yeah, the DE is this is. That tells you that much. And, but anyway, when you get started into it, don't let it frustrate you. Don't let it upset and aggravate you. Because when I took my test, took my general test, I went in and the person that was in charge of the the VE session said, you got to take the code test. I said, I don't want to take the code test today. I'm not ready. And they said, well, you got to take it before you can take the written general. I said, okay. So I sat there and I failed the code test miserably. Passed the general written test. And then, next month I went back and I said, now I'm ready to take the code test. And I passed the code test. But, I told her, I said, her rules were just a little bit ridiculous. You know, at that time I knew I wasn't going to get my license until I'd passed the code. And, I wouldn't get my upgrade. So, but I went to take the written test. I didn't go to take the code test. So, if you don't have to worry about that now because it's all no code. And but there's a lot of folks that are still interested in code and are learning code. And I think that's a marvelous thing.
That is cool. Well, Gary, I'm going to get on the side here. I could talk to you all day, all night. and always a pleasure. But I'm going to try to get a little bite to eat and check into the next 2:45 in the morning to go to work. But 73 is Gary. I'll be clear on your final. W4SBX.
Hollering at me. You take care. Get you some supper. And I'll be listening for you on the net in just a little while. We'll say 73 for now, and we'll talk to you later. W4SBX, KI4DOS.
And Gary, KI4DOS, W4SBX, clear.
Getting some of this disinformation about Gary. I've been copying the mail. N0TR.
Good night, Mr. Tom. I hope you are doing well.
Well, I had a rough time with your call sign.
Oh, well, don't feel bad. I have trouble with it myself sometimes, Tom. But you and Miss Bernice have a good evening. I'll be listening to you on the net here in a little bit. I was going to call you and tell you I really enjoyed that last email. And I got a friend of mine. He's always, every time I talk to him, he's always telling me jokes. And I told him that one about the guy that came home from the club, and all the club members were talking about the mailman. Boy, he rolled in the floor.
You got Bernice laughing over here. Well, I'll tell you, Gary, this heart surgery's been a bummer. I've been getting AFib off and on, not regularly, but once in a while. Like, I walked up the stairs the other night, and it feels like a bongo drum in your chest, you know, arrhythmic, and really bugs you. But that extended pill they gave me was supposed to last for 24 hours. And then they give me another one to make my heartbeat regular, and another one for AFib. But other than that, we're doing fine. Bernice is over here. I'm still moving slow, but on the 18th, I got to start cardiac rehab, so maybe that'll build my strength back up. Hope you enjoy. You're doing okay. I'm glad you enjoyed the jokes. I don't get them as often. The lady that sends me those is up in Kansas. She's a devout Catholic, so I'm surprised at some of the jokes she sends. But she's such a wonderful lady. And they're just great people. She's up in her 80s, so I don't get them as often anymore, but I always try to pass them along. It's always good to get a good laugh.
Out. I had to change radios, Tom. I was working on that other one, and I've been talking on it for a good while now, and I just realized that the power had been turned all the way up on it, and I didn't realize it. And that heat sink was getting pretty warm over there, so I put a fan on it and let it cool down a little bit.
Back home in Kansas, this is home now. We've been here 15 years, but I put a bimetal on there and put a muffin fan on the back of one. Of course, I was a little more chatty back then, but I'd sit out in the garage and had a wood stove that I built, and then Bernice and I would cut wood for it, and wood for the house. And I'd sit out there and take zippers out and linings out of the leather jackets. And she did alterations for, they actually picked up at 345 cleaners. There was times when my 24-foot garage, I'd have leather jackets of the full length of the garage, Gary. Back then, I couldn't afford the insulation, so I just had plastic between the two halves of the garage until I was able to afford to build a wall and sheetrock it there. But the good old days.
I don't know about the good part, but I do remember the older days. that have come and gone, and it's a wonder we were able to get this far with all the technology that we've got now and everything else. You know, I can remember, I can remember all kinds of stuff that I'd rather forget, but, you know, you could feel the wind coming through the clapboard siding on the side of the house and stuff such as that, and, of course, you don't have that problem anymore.
This is N0TR with KI4DOS. Yeah, I think Bernice does, though, don't you, Mom? Oh, he was talking about the wind coming through the clapboard siding. We had asbestos siding on our first house after we got married, after I got out of the service. But her old house was wooden, Gary, and her mom would heat up bricks at night and put them in the bed because she was afraid. Bernice's daddy died when she was 2 years old. And she was afraid the house would catch on fire from the wood stove. And they burnt wood, coal, and different things. And so she let the fire go out at night. And they put the bricks in the bed. And I bet that was a little cool in the morning, wasn't it, Bernice?
Yeah.
Yeah. But she's never once complained, Gary.
I have put bricks in the bed like that, but you know, just get it just long enough to get it to bed warmed up. But my mother's, no, it was my daddy's mother and daddy had a feather bed, and I used to love to go up there and stay with them, especially during winter time, because you take a run and jump. You pull the covers back and take a big running jump and land in the middle of that bed. And, of course, the feathers would scoot out around you. And you pull that blanket up and then pull the quilt over on top of you. You didn't get cold in that feather bed. But once you got up, put your feet flat on them cold floorboards, whew, I tell you what, that was a mess. But my grandmother and grandfather on my dad's side, my granny had a wood stove, and she always cooked on it. And for 1 year for Christmas, my grandfather bought her an electric stove, and she never cooked on it. The daughters and the daughter-in-laws and everybody else cooked on it, but she cooked on that wood stove. She said, food don't taste right when it comes off of that stove over there. I don't like it. And I'm not going to use it. And she did.
Bernice has laughed her head off over here. Yeah, I noticed that there was a water pump out in the backyard. And for years, they had to go out behind the house and use that hand pump to pump water. And then they finally got water in the house. Did you finally get gas in that old house, Bernice? No gas. No, it was just, it was just electric, but it was something to behold. It looks like one of those ones up in the mountains here, Gary, that's no longer inhabited, you know, but God, she's made a wonderful wife, and it sure didn't hurt her anyhow, I'll say that, but I remember when I first met her, the house didn't have a telephone, and Bernice had gotten a job after graduating high school at a printing company, and she put the first telephone in that house, and it was like a 6-party line.
Them old party line phones and that sort of thing. My grandmother and grandfather didn't have indoor plumbing until 1964. In 1964, the children hired a plumber, and he came out and put running water in the house. And but before that, we'd always go out and pull get water out of the well, and they had the outhouse out away from the house, and
Then they had the slop jars and things that we used inside the house during the night and that sort of thing. So, you know, I understand all of that, and that's the way I grew up, and I really enjoyed it back then. But, gosh, you know, nowadays, if the power goes off, we go crazy.
That's the truth. That's why I put in a Generac when we first moved here. I put one in for my brother-in-law. They lived about 20 miles out from town. You know, I was able to do it back then, but I wasn't able down here. I ordered it, and some good friends of mine put it in for me. Ham radio operator, matter of fact, and also a master electrician. But I put George and Betty's in, and boy, they really appreciated it, I'll tell you. And when you're out there in the middle of nowhere, you don't think about things like, for example, there was a car running down. There was old dirt roads, and it was running down the road. Some kid, he lost control, and he took out a telephone pole, and they was out of electricity for about 6 or 7 days. And they'd have lost everything in their freezers and all. It was, I think, 16 circuits on it or something like that, or 10 circuits. And you could pick out the most 10 circuits that you wanted. And so I had them pick them out, and then I had to set another sub-panel in and wire that. But it really worked good. The only thing I ever had to go wrong with it was a little ice cube relay one time. And that was after we moved down here. Before that, I took care of the maintenance on it. These whole house ones are a lot easier to put in than that one was. But I was going to say, Bernice said they had an outhouse, and it was pretty late by the time they got that put, got plumbing put in. And it was pretty fancy, though. It was a two-holer.
Father's was, too. He had to have a big hole and a small hole. You know, the small hole was supposedly for the children and the ladies, according to Granddad. But you know how Granddads are. But she probably remembers the difference between a white corn cob and a red corn cob, too.
In the Sears and Roebuck catalog.
Seen a bunch of them, too.
My dad had a job on the railroad most of his life. He got laid off one time for 4 months, but he went and bought a grocery store. That was the biggest mistake he ever made, a mom and pop one. But we always had food on the table and everything. And Bernice and them, there was 5 kids, and they had whatever they growed, and that's what they had to eat. I asked Mama one time, I said, Mama, I said, what about when you butchered a steer or something? Oh, no, we never got any of that. They sold that. They got the hogs, you know, from, they got pork, but very rarely any beef. So we were pretty soft compared to that.
I went up to my granddad's 1 year, Tom, and it was time for the corn to come in, and I was a little bitty thing, and my uncle lived next door to my granddad. He got his big old mule up there and hooked it to this big old sled. It was a big old box, a wooden box on some wooden runners is what it was. And I was up on top of that thing, and everybody else, I was too little, they wouldn't let me pull the corn, pull the ears off stalks, but they were go down through there and throw them corn ears of corn up over in the end of that sled, and I was sitting up there on the top of it, and that was my job. You know, I got to ride the sled and watch the corn, and when the sled got full, I'd tell everybody to stop, and so that was my job.
Talk about riding behind the tractor. It was on a sled, wasn't it, Maurice? On the baler and bucking the bales back there. And then when you're talking about corn, they had a thing on your arm, right?
Yeah.
It had a hook on it on your hands, and that's the way they picked the corn, Gary.
They different parts of the country pick them a little bit different, I guess. We didn't have anything like that. They just reach and grab the ear and pull it straight down and break it off the stalk and throw it up there. I think most of them tried to hit me and knock me into the sled, you know, into the box there. But I got pretty good at staying balanced up there, so I thought I was doing pretty good. My granddad and my uncle always killed a hog. In the early, well, after the first frost, they wouldn't do it till they frosted. And I hated doing that because I'd get cold, you know. Of course, once they got the fire going and all that stuff, it wasn't too bad. But I don't remember them ever. They didn't have any beef cattle, or, you know, they had a couple of cows that they used for milking purposes. And we drank the milk, and I learned to churn butter with my grandmother and that sort of thing. So they lived off the farm, you know, and pretty much. And every once in a while, we'd go fishing, and we might have some fresh fish for supper.
Front porch, didn't they, Bernice? And then they picked them out in the driveway, and they'd pick them up, and they'd sell some milk from that. I remember she had a brown Swiss when I was there, and I tried my hand at milk, and I wasn't too good. But our kids really enjoyed going out to the farm. It was 9 miles north of our house. And they got to grind grain for flour and made flour. And they got to churn butter to make butter and things like that with their grandma. And I don't think they've ever forgotten that.
Or DOS. No, you don't ever forget that, Tom. You know, that's a memory that will stay with you forever.
One day, Gary, and she said, Tom, she said, she'd been having chickens killed, and I had trapped some raccoons and that, and I said, well, where's this raccoon at, Mama? And she said, well, it's down in the pen. It was quite a little ways from the house, and I said, where's it at? And she said, it's in the pen. So I get to my buddy Henry, and we go out there, and he's got coon dogs he wanted to, you know, try out. So we get out there, we walk down to that pen, and I said, where's he at, Mama? And she said, well, he's under that dish pen. And I thought, coons are pretty smart, you know, that'd be unusual. And I seen this leather-looking tail, Gary.
Well, you know, you don't ever forget stuff like that, do you, Tom?
I shot him. They killed chickens too. But it was embarrassing to me. Henry had his coon dogs all ready. There was a big possum underneath that. But she didn't tell me about them killing the chickens. And they were out in the barn, and she had all kinds of fencing up and everything. I think they killed 135 chickens before she ever told me anything. But the last one, I'll let you go. The funniest one was she called me up and she said, Tom, I got a problem with rats out here in the barn. And it was a big old barn. And I said, all right, well, we'll be out. And so I went out there. And she said, Tom, there's thousands of them out there. And I said, now, Mama, you're exaggerating. And no. And her hands were always, you know, real rustic and hard. And she grabbed my hand, and she said, you come with me. And we went out to the barn, and she opened the barn door. Nothing there. And she goes in and she gets a dishpan and she puts some oats in it. And she come back around there to that door and she took that dishpan and she stuck it in the where the cows stick their head in to be milked, you know, the transom or whatever they call it. And anyways, I thought, well, I still don't see anything, Mama. She said, you watch. And she just shut that barn door until there was just a crack showing, Gary, and we could peek in. And we waited there no more than 3, 4, 5 minutes, and I heard this rustling sound. And I had a shotgun, and she said, now you watch. And she slung that door open. It was on rollers. And I'll never forget, you could not see that dishpan or anywhere around it. It was covered with rats or mice, whatever they were. They were pretty good size. And I shot the dickens out of them. And you know, the bad thing was I caught heck because I shot the dishpan.
I'm sitting here thinking, oh, Lord, he's going to get into trouble for shooting something he wasn't supposed to. I didn't even think about the dishpan being there. Oh, me. Well, we've had some fun, I guess, in our lives, Tom, in our early days. It's good to talk about them and to go down memory lane a little bit. But, I hope you and Miss Bernice are going to have a great evening, what's left of it. And I know y'all probably got some stuff to do. I got to go over here and finish tidying up this radio, put the cover back on it and all that sort of stuff, get ready for the net. And I don't have to call it tonight. Thank goodness I did that last night. So we'll do something else tonight, I guess. But good talking with you, Tom. I appreciate you coming in there and talking with me for a little bit. Helping me procrastinate a little bit, I guess, would be a good way to word it. I didn't want to finish that radio tonight anyway, really. But it's all right. I'll get it done. It's working, and all I got to do is put it back together. But you tell Miss Bernice, and I know she's listening. Miss Bernice, you take care. Have a wonderful evening. And go get over there to see y'all one of these days soon. I'll give you a holler and let you, make sure you're there and you don't have a house full of company before I come. But, Tom, I have been thinking about you since you had your heart surgery, and I wish you well there, young man. And I understand about the booming part of it. And, of course, they didn't do anything like they did to you, but it's an experience that I don't want to go through again. I'll put it that way.
Gary, well, you guys get up here and see us sometimes, and you're welcome anytime. We'd love to visit with you. Bernice has run upstairs. She's making a peachy cake, and I think that's not going to be good for till tomorrow. So she said, what would you like? And I said, a funnel cake. So maybe I'll get a funnel cake here in a little bit. She's always doing something. Anyways, take care, Gary, and say hi to Joy. KI4DOS in 0TR73.
Tom, you take care. And it's a wonder that you're not big as the side of a barn. For real, all the goodies that Miss Bernice fixes for you. She is an awesome cook and awesome baker and all of that stuff. My wife told me she was going to bake me a lemon pound cake. And I got all the ingredients that she needed when I went to the grocery store. And I want you to know it ain't got made yet. But I will say this in her behalf. She's going to have an MRI done on her lower back again. And I'll tell you about the diagnosis on the phone or something. But anyway, she has not been feeling well, and her back's been really hurting. So I haven't pressed her to make my cake yet. But you enjoy your funnel cake if you get one of those, and enjoy it all to pieces. And we'll talk to you later. 73, my friend. N0TR, KI4DOS.
Tell Joy to have heart surgery, Gary. I just, I don't understand it. and it don't make any sense, but I had tremendous back pain every single day, no matter what. And the first thing I do in the morning is put on an ice bag and on my back, and I had to make it to the refrigerator to get it, and it was a chore. And you know, since I had that, and I guess it's more blood flow, I don't know. But my back isn't hurting as much as with that slice down the center of my chest. Leastwise over on the left side. Maybe they didn't get it wired up so good. Anyways, talk to you later, Gary. This is N0TR Clear.